A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Welcome to the Runner's World podcast with me, Rick Pearson.
And me, Ben Hobson.
And me, Jane Maguire.
Today we're talking with physio Richmond Stace about the most Googled running injuries. That's all like sore knees and stuff, isn't it? Sore knees, dodgy ankles, bad back.
Bad back. Oh, why does my knee hurt? Oh, I shouldn't have started running. Running's bad for your knees. All those things.
What's been your worst injury, Jane, would you say?
I would say I am quite lucky that I don't seem to get the kind of shin splints, like knee pain.
Oh, I'm touching wood for you, Jane. This is freaking me out saying all that.
For all of our listeners who can't see me, I'm sat at my breakfast bar holding the wooden surface. But I did break my back falling off a horse when I was 17.
Cool,
so I am
it.
Plagued with kind of sciatic nerve, back pain. Anything related to the back, I've probably had to run through it. So yeah, I'd say that I'm quite lucky that I don't seem to get little injuries. It seems to just be the big stuff.
The broken back stuff.
Yeah, the broken spine.
Just broken back.
It's pretty full on, Jane, that, isn't it? Like, that's not
pretty
like
intense,
a kind of sore knee. Wow, my God.
Wasn't something I really enjoyed. But I was quite lucky that I think when you have these injuries as, well, technically a child, you just heal really quick. Imagine if I broke my back now, I'd be out for quite a while, but...
Well, be careful at that breakfast bar. That's all I say.
I won't be rocking back on this chair, and I'll be getting down very carefully after the podcast ends because I've just hit myself with loads of bad luck, haven't I?
What about you, Ben?
I think a bit like Jane, really. I've only had a couple I didn't fall off a horse and break my back, but I did get hit by a car, and that sort of messed up my shoulder a bit. And it's actually the other day I got a treadmill into test, and I was sort of filming myself running on the treadmill to kind of gauge just to look at my form. And yeah, I really noticed that my right shoulder, which was the bit that took most of the brunt, it behaves very differently to my left side. And I think that sort of this, ever since that happened, I've picked up more and more injuries, and it's just a great example really of how running is a full body activity. So we always look at the sort of legs and how they're behaving and all those sorts of things, but an impact to my upper body, which then has skewed me to some degree. And obviously my body behaves differently now, as it's sort of, you know, things were misplaced and realigned and all that sort of stuff. It was really interesting. My left arm swings quite a lot more than my right, and it actually swings across me a bit. And if you take that movement and how that transfers down the body, that's sort of rotational, and then you get, well, as I have found more recently, some knee issues and stuff. And it's kind of just, you can sort of work backwards, if you see what I mean. Like, I sort of went, oh, well, actually, before that happened, I don't think I had that many injuries. I had some, because I would do stupid stuff like try and do a trail race with no training and really like hurt yourself. But yeah, I've noticed that. I mean, it's very similar to Jane. I think it's actually a bigger trauma tends to be the thing that triggers some sort of miss or unappreciated movement or something like that. That, yeah.
Anyone running with you needs to stay on the right to avoid that.
Yeah, watch out that
left arm.
It's absolute chaos if you're on the left of me. It's just out of control. But you've been pretty good, Rick, haven't you?
I haven't got a big traumatic injury. I can't play some kind of
odd one out.
Trump on,
sorry,
on that one. Yeah, no. So mine is the kind of injury that you can run on. That was, so I had this ankle injury. It's like a tendon thing in the ankle, and it was it corresponded with the time when I was doing lots of club running, really sort of going after like PBs and doing a lot of intense running. And I didn't want to stop because I was like, oh, I've got pretty fit now. So like the idea of taking like 3 weeks off was like, oh, I'd really rather not, because once I get going with this thing, it warms up a bit anyway. And yeah, and I kind of told myself I was fine. But I think that it was getting to a point where it was like a bit chronic, like a bit of a chronic injury.
Right.
And
like,
yeah,
tendonitis, I was kind of, sort of.
Yeah, I think so. And basically what happened was I went out of the running industry for a few months, and I didn't run very intensely for about 9 months, and it went away basically. And then I've looked after it more, and it's not an issue anymore. But I can totally see how somebody who has an injury that's like a low level thing and can just crack on with it and think that and kind of be in denial about it, because that's definitely what I was. And I should have definitely just taken a month off away earlier, because I think I was in danger of creating a kind of problem that would never go away.
Oh, well, Rick, if only former you had had the opportunity to listen to the upcoming interview that we have with Richmond Stace.
Exactly.
Where we talk about recovery, pain, what is pain, injury, and how, and all the other things in between. So how fortuitous.
Let's get him on. Let's get him on.
Let's talk to our guest of our week. Here we go.
Guest of the week. Here in the studio. Guest of the week. Sometimes on the phone. Could be an athlete.
The increase in the number of runners over the past 12 months is reason for celebration, but accompanying the surge in running during lockdown has come a surge in running injuries. Physiotherapist Richmond Stace and Olympian Ross Murray recently looked into the most popular injury search terms, and Richmond's here to provide some answers as to how runners can go about addressing them. So Richmond, welcome to the Runners Well podcast.
Thanks, Rick. Good to be here.
No, great to have you on. The first term was ankle support for running, which I think is an interesting one, because I'm not sure these kind of knee support or ankle support is necessarily what people should be looking at. What would you say?
Well, yeah, this is quite a controversial area. When we say support, I guess some people mean a bit of a neoprene sleeve or a bit of old tubey grip they might find in the back of the drawer or some fancy coloured tape. They all form, kinds of support. It depends on the nature of the issue, really. I mean, if you've got a recurring ankle that gives way from some old injury, then really you should be going upstream and dealing with that problem, specifically with training and exercises and such like. But I suppose in some senses it might give you a little bit of confidence that perhaps something is there, gives you a little reminder. But there's pluses and minuses of that, of course. You may not want to be thinking about your ankle when you're running down a hill or some technical terrain. And certainly if you do sort of put your foot down a hole, it's unlikely that many of those basic supports are going to stop that process, because you've got the whole effect of your body weight going. And so you're probably not going to prevent an injury in that way. So no, it's really a case of, if there is a problem, and particularly if you find that it's giving way just when you're walking about, going downstairs, so not even running, then you definitely need to go and sort that out and get the right kind of training, most of which will be around balance and that kind of control.
So that'll be kind of single leg balance stuff.
Yeah, although that's an interesting point, because one might think, well, of course, if you balance, it's sort of on one leg. But in effect, being upright is being balanced. And balance is a whole body thing. And I often say this to people I'm working with, because they'll go on one leg and practice the side that has been injured or sore or whatever. And I said, well, no, you've got to practice both, because this is a whole body thing. And of course, balance, largely controlled by the brain. And the predictions the brain's making that the body then fulfills. So there's a bit more to it. I mean, no one wants the depth, of course. They just want to know what to do. But balance might be on one leg, but it might be sort of jumping over things and landing and then, going and running on uneven terrain and gradually sort of building it up. So there's quite a lot you can do. Although I would always say that that's something, if you're a runner, you should be doing anyway.
Where do you stand on KT tape? Can I ask the controversial question?
Ooh.
Is it a lie? These are the big questions our listeners want answered.
They do want answers to this. And it depends on the colour. there's a look, isn't there? There's a look to having the tape on. And look, it does provide some kind of feedback. It does provide some kind of sensory feedback, how much it's likely to prevent an injury or, you know, arguably, if you're putting tape on all the time, then there's probably something you need to go and sort out. So you can keep covering it up, but we're good at that, aren't we? We like a short fix or quick fix.
Search term number two, which is screams to me volume in terms of people running, but is sore Achilles after running. So, I mean, I feel like Achilles and load and those sorts of things. Am I completely wrong? Or do you think that that's like why that search term in terms of injury is up?
Well, it's a common one, isn't it? Anything that involves running, you know, there's inevitably going to be a bunch of people that end up with a sore Achilles. There's lots of different reasons, some of which will be around your general health. You know, do you have a general inflammatory condition? I don't want to scare people. Most people probably won't. But, you know, these are things to consider, particularly if it's persistent. And then you've got to, yeah, I mean, how much you're running. And something else I often talk to people about is what version of you are you taking out running? So if you've been, for example, being sat behind a desk all day and you think, oh, I'll go for a run. I mean, generally, it's a good idea. But are you then taking a kind of a stiff, anxious body out running? Or do you use a sort of a transition where... And when I say warm up, I don't mean just, you know, a couple of stretches before you get out the door. I mean, do you get blood and oxygen pumping through your legs? Do you spend a little bit of time kind of getting into moving before you actually start running? And if you're self-aware, let's say, or you're checking in regularly, then you're going to be able to establish kind of how you are, which means you can then decide what to do before you actually get into those strides and gradually build it up. Also depends on the time of day and all the types of things that you've been up to. But yeah, definitely the amount of mileage as well. There's sort of pluses and minuses of Strava. And I'm talking from personal experience here and sort of looking at the way that I've been training and you can easily get caught up with this, oh, I should be doing this amount of mileage. And it's interesting. I've been listening a lot to some of the ultra runners recently about this and training methods and the fact that, you know, just doing a certain amount of mileage and aiming to do that each week is probably not the best way of going about it. So if you're driven by, you know, stats or seeing what other people are doing, you can quite easily, and I say I've done this, so you know, you fall into that, you see someone else do, oh, all right, I've got to keep up with that. Whereas actually your own game is what you should really be focusing on.
So you're talking to us from a standing desk, Richard, aren't you? Which is I'm quite jealous of, actually. But is this something that you would recommend people look into? I guess it's a little bit like you're saying of what you do when you're not running is just as important as what you do when you're out there running.
Yeah. Oh, massively. You know, the run, even if it's a, you know, a short run, you know, what you do the rest of the time, you're taking that version of you out there. So most of it is sort of beneath the surface. You know, if you think of an iceberg analogy, I use a standing desk. And so it means that all day, well, if I'm working from home doing Zoom sessions with people, which is obviously more now, you know, look, you can see me. I know people are listening, but I can move around and I'm always moving around and doing little sort of exercises. I might even balance on one leg or do a sort of a leg yoga pose, which no one can see. And so it just what it means is that through the day, you're regularly nourishing your body. And that's a word I use a lot with people is, you know, nourish your body through moving. You know, your joints need it, your muscles need it, your nervous system needs it, your brain needs it. And it obviously it all works together. They're not all these sort of separate parts anyway. So motion is lotion.
That's good. Oh, that could be on a T-shirt, couldn't it? I could get on a T-shirt.
Let's use that as a soundbite.
This is the Runner's World podcast.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The next search term, which is up 600%, whoa, which is mad. How to help shin splints, which I'm sure, I think that's a beginner. Is that a beginner thing or am I generalizing?
Well, as in, is it only beginners that get it?
Yeah. It's a typical beginner thing, isn't it?
Well, it could be, but no, I mean, you know, I wouldn't say that it's exclusively for beginners. And what's a beginner? That's an interesting one, isn't it? Because we've, you know, most people have had to run at some point. So it's not like, right, here's a violin. And I've never played the violin. So, you know, everyone has a concept of running, a construct of running, even if they've not done it for a long time. But yeah, I mean, you know, on that, beginners, people starting out, if we say, or restarting, that kind of thing, then they need to establish a baseline. You know, how am I? Where am I? What can I do? And then gradually build things up. Plus, behind the scenes, the conditioning, you know, a little bit of strength work, balance work, flexibility work. Even little bits, but just on a regular basis, it's just going to make the running experience, you know, so much more fruitful and enjoyable. You know, it's not particularly enjoyable when you're going out running with a tight, stiff body where something hurts all the time. It just loses something. So shin splints, yeah, that's a common term that's used for pain at the front of the lower leg. There's other terms that are used as well, but that's probably the one that most people are familiar with. And again, it can come from, you know, a range of issues from, you know, overdoing things, perhaps poor footwear. So you'd have to look at all of those. And I think that, you know, with any kind of running injury or running pain, and injury and pain are not the same. In fact, injury and the tissue state and the experience of pain are notoriously poorly related. That's a sort of a common misunderstanding. So, you know, you need to look at all of those factors, including a lot of general health factors and lifestyle factors as well. If you don't, if you just focus, for example, on the shoes or the biomechanics, it's like trying to bake a cake with just an egg.
That's another soundbite. Yeah.
I like that.
I wanted to just very quickly explore that idea of pain and injury being different, because I know that's a subject you talk really well on, and perhaps in the sense of a long-standing injury. So maybe something where someone's got a sore ankle or a sore Achilles, and it's almost like they can't imagine running without that pain. So maybe they're bringing that expectation of pain to the running experience, where actually it doesn't, on some level, actually doesn't exist anymore. Could you explain how that relationship works with kind of long-standing or chronic pain?
Yeah, no, that's an excellent question. I think that's one that a lot of people experience and struggle to understand. And you're exactly right that our previous experiences that we've had can hugely inform what happens now. And that's because the brain predicts. So the experience we're all having right now, this perception of what's happening, our brains are predicting this based on what we know about the world and podcasts and people and talking, all the rest of it. And sort of bring that into what's happening now. So if every time I've gone out for a run, you know, over the last however long, my knee has hurt or something has hurt, that expectation can be conscious. So in other words, I might be saying to myself, oh, you know, is it going to hurt again? Or it will hurt again. You know, we can be quite definite sometimes. But a lot of it, when we talk about expectation, is actually subconscious. So you may not actually be thinking, oh, this is going to hurt. But as soon as you start running, you know, there it is, and you go, oh, there it is. And it's very difficult to move your focus off that pain and the story, and, you know, am I going to be able to keep going? How far shall I go? Because if I go that far, and then I got to walk back, or, you know, or whatever. And so dealing with that is, you know, is part of overcoming a pain problem. And I differentiate the two, because an injury would be where there's clearly some kind of tissue damage. And so what you're talking about there is something that's more acute. But having said that, you know, we can obviously have tissue breakdown that is not because I've fallen down a hole or tripped over or something. It's just this kind of gradual breakdown of tissues without a rebuild. And that can happen subtly because of a whole range of things, and may not have anything to do with running per se. It might just be more to do with the way that you live. And the way that you train, for example, and that's why going into the narrative, so someone's story in detail, is so important. But when it comes to pain, you know, there's the two big players are where your attention is and what your expectations are. Most people still think that pain is very well related to tissue damage or some kind of pathology or something that you can see either, you know, the body or a scan or an X-ray. But of course, you can't see pain. There's nothing. You can't see it. I mean, even when you think, well, hold on, there's brain scans that when they do fMRI studies, when someone's in pain or having a pain experience, that these parts of the brain are alive and active. But that's still not pain. That's something that's going on in the brain. Pain is a perception. It's an experience that I'm having and only I can have. And it's colored and flavored by a huge number of things, including, as we said, attention, expectation, but also the environment that I'm in, the context, the situation, you know, who I'm with, what I'm doing, what I'm intending to do, what I have been doing, and all of those things. So there's a lot to it, a huge amount.
Yeah, it's fascinating. I think it's fascinating.
Yeah. It really is, yeah. Way beyond a search term, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
Lower back pain after running. That's on the up at number four. That's up 200%.
Oh,
lower back pain. I mean, is that as a gentleman aging? I kind of consider that to just be part of life. But I guess that's not the case. We shouldn't be having any sort of pain. Well, certainly, as we've just discussed, pain being relative to your own experience, but lower back discomfort or something like that after running.
Yeah. But look, there's a lot in what you said there. I mean, one, yeah, we sort of, oh yeah, I'm getting old. I'm, you know, I'm going to have aches and pains. I mean, that kind of belief could result in someone choosing not to really do too much about it, not to do, you know, what are fairly straightforward, simple things to look after one's self, one's body. Well, because it's inevitable anyway, you know, that sort of thing. And I would disagree with that approach, as unsurprisingly. I would encourage people to look after themselves and to realize that, you know, within all pain experiences is encapsulated some kind of message. There's a signpost there that there's something you need to do. You know, maybe there's something in your life that you need to address. You know, maybe it's something you haven't processed. You know, maybe you're not meeting all your needs sufficiently. All or any of those things could trigger a pain response, because pain is all about protection and survival. And just because you're in pain, it doesn't necessarily mean that something bad has happened. But your body and brain are telling you that there's something you need to attend to. So if you keep ignoring it or look for a quick fix, then you're very unlikely to be meeting the needs, and hence it can build over time and quite slowly sometimes. So people go, oh, you know, just one day I it was really bad, and then you kind of go back through the story and you can see all these signposts along the way, but we get distracted, other things, you know, prioritized and such like. When it comes to this kind of increase in people running, and again, it probably stems from people, well, just put on that old pair of shoes that I haven't had for a while and get out there. And you know, inevitably that's gonna, that you're gonna have some aches and pains, and aches and pains of being active are really quite, yeah, I suppose they are quite normal, but you should only really be feeling that for, you know, a day or two afterwards. And if it's beyond that, or if it's, you know, if it's really quite unpleasant, then perhaps there's something you need to think about in terms of how you're doing it. But back pain, you're right, is very common. You know, most people get some kind of back pain at some point. And I would point mainly, you know, in life to things like how long you spend sitting, but also your general lifestyle, your general wellness, and other things that are important, like, you know, relationships with bosses, work satisfaction, a sense of purpose. You know, all of these things are important for pain as well. And I know that kind of goes, or seems to go away from the running world, but at the end of the day, we're all people, and running is just sort of one aspect of us. And without attending to the others, you're probably not going to get the best out of it.
For sure. Is there anything specifically relating to the lower back and runners? Would it be, is it something to do with the hips or the core strength? I mean, is that sort of things that you see that common, you know, that are, whenever you're treating people specifically who suffer from lower back issues, is it a core weakness or an instability somewhere that kind of anyone listening might go, oh, my back hurts a bit, I need to do more of X and it might get better?
There was a whole industry around core stability that was based on research in the 90s, most of which has been debunked now, but the industry is still alive and kicking. I mean, certainly having good sort of trunk control, but not, you know, that's not separate to how everything else is working. You know, when you look at lots of different people moving, you know, you realize that there's huge individuality. So there's not sort of one set of rules. By the time someone's got some kind of pain and they come to see you, they're very likely to be moving differently anyway. So the way that they, you know, the way they bend, the way they walk, the way they run might have just been slightly adapted. And it can be quite difficult to work out exactly when that started, particularly if it's something that's brewed over a period of time. But you can usually find and see an element of guarding or apprehension or their body control is not so good. So that might be through simple balance. So they're the kinds of things you can work on. You can see how people are moving different parts in relation to each other and then help them ease that up. I mean, but it's interesting because when I was watching some of the footage of John Kelly yesterday, I don't know if you saw any of that. You just watch the way that he runs. It's quite interesting because if you looked at it from a purely biomechanical running aesthetic, you know, there's not a lot of movement around his middle. I mean, I know he just ran 260 miles. A little bit of leeway here. But it looked a little bit stiff.
terrible posture, John. Terrible, John.
Scooped over and his face looked terrible. You know. But when you look at the huge variety, you realize how, you know, biomechanics is just a part of it. You know, the heart and soul of the person as well, you know, drives them on. There's a number of factors again to look at. And so if a person listening wants to realize and self-actualize a little bit more, they should just think about, well, what do I do, you know, day to day? How do I spend a lot of my time? You know, how do I sit? How do I stand? Do I spend a lot of time kind of with my head forward looking down, in which case everything else below is adapting? Or do I spend time practicing being upright? You know, how mobile am I around my hips and my back? And of course, hamstrings play a big role as well. Lots of people suffer with tight hamstrings, which has just become a habit of the body. You know, what am I doing about that? Because if things are tight, if you think when you're taking a modest stride, if the hamstrings are tight, you know, it's going to be pulling the body around a little bit more. You know, is that a problem or not? So I just encourage people to kind of sort of zoom out a little bit and just have a look at the way that they're doing life and they're running and then sort of build on that, whether it be through something specific or a bit of coaching or some conditioning, or maybe they need some help from a physio.
I've put my desk up already and now I'm doing this.
And I'm getting feeling a bit guilty as well.
I'm sat at a breakfast bar, so I couldn't be putting more pressure on my spine if I tried right now.
Yeah. But that's okay. You know, there's a whole thing around bending, isn't there? That if you've got a bad ball, don't bend over. But actually the most important movement for the spine is bending. Because it's through that bending, it's through that change in pressure. that you actually get nutrients into the disc. So, you know, we need all this. We just need movement. So you sitting like that on your breakfast bar, you know, for half an hour or something, that's fine. I mean, you might, if you get up and you kind of go, oh, that feels a bit stiff, well, then your body's sort of telling you something. So pay attention and think about the way you're doing it. But if you're okay, then, you know, you probably don't worry about it for now. But don't be there for hours and hours and hours. Just think motion is lotion.
I'll get it like printed on the wall.
It's good. I was speaking to another physio, you know, Paul Tierney, another great sort of foul runner who's physio as well. And he was lauding what he called postman fitness. So this is the fitness of the postman who is kind of constantly walking around doing very low level exercise and kind of like what you're talking about, the day being full of motion, and as opposed to maybe someone who sits down 5 hours and then does a CrossFit class for 20 minutes and then goes back down to sitting again. And I guess what you're talking about is more in that realm, isn't it?
Yeah, it's, I mean, I'm a fan of punctuating the day with little bursts of something. And, you know, one simple and practical tip is to use transitions. And what I mean by that is that each time you go from one job to the next, do a little thing, whether it be some breathing, some mindfulness, some movement, a stretch, you know, whatever it might be. But use those and try and groove that habit. And grooving habits is, you know, doesn't always prove to be easy. Habits that bring short-term pleasures are quite easy. We're pretty good at that. But the things that we need to do that are important in life, so, you know, our health and relationships, you know, career, fitness and health, you know, this is stuff we need to do each day. You know, we need skills of being well. I mean, the great analogy is always cleaning your teeth. You know, it's pretty rare that people don't do that. So if you think of it along those lines, well, these are things that I do each day to keep well, then you're going about it the right way, I reckon. And it's a bit, you know, I talk to a lot of people about mindfulness practice and breathing practice, and, you know, some people do it in the morning, 10 minutes or up to an hour or whatever it might be. But and that's great. And there'll be some advantages of that. But if you're doing that, but then carrying on with your life as you did before for the rest of the day, then arguably you're not going to get the most out of it. In fact, you're probably better off just doing a series of minutes, maybe three or four through the day, where you're just being present and practicing, because that way you're kind of keeping yourself on this other path, this path towards being well and self-actualization, or whatever you want to frame it. As opposed to sort of just doing one thing and then it's a bit like people who, you know, when they looked at people who go to the gym in the morning and then sit at the desk all day, you know, they still had, you know, a number of health risks because they still sat at the desk all day. Great, they went to the gym, but they were still sat at the desk all day, meaning that they probably didn't think they had to do anything else.
Yeah, exactly. Jane, do you want to hit us up with the last question? The last
search term, which I want to know, out of 10 people that come to your practice, how many of them come and complain about their knees? Because that's what we're all Googling. Why do my knees hurt from running?
Yeah. Well, there's a whole knee thing, isn't there?
Yeah. Yes. Runners have bad running knees.
Yeah. Runner's knee. And you tell someone that you run, oh, that's bad for your knees, isn't it? Or, oh, I'm not going to start running because that'll damage my knees. Well, there was that interesting study not so long ago, which I think you probably reported on, when they looked at people training to do a marathon and their knees actually got healthier. So again, but it, you know, it depends on individual factors. It'll depend on genetics. It'll depend on your training methods. And so again, you know, you've got to look at the bigger picture and take a good story and find out, you know, what's going on in that person's life. But like anywhere, the knees, it's a complex joint. There's lots of bits that can get inflamed for different reasons. You know, is there a tendency for that person to become inflamed? You know, do they experience a lot of stress, which will make them inflammatory? Are they lonely? Because that's something that can make us inflammatory, or is there something else going on? So kind of look at the background scene. You know, why is it in this person that they keep getting knee pain? Or is it something as simple as, well, they injured it and they didn't fully recover? You know, we're not great as runners at not running. Did they take enough time off? And then, of course, recovery. And this would account for all of the above, all of the things you've already asked me. You know, trying to view rest and recovery as part of your training program is absolutely essential. You know, sometimes taking days or even a few weeks off, people might sort of go, oh no, I can't do that because I'll lose all my fitness. So instead, what I'll do is I'll keep carrying on with this painful knee and running on it. And that a lot of people do that. They might get some strapping, like you begin to strap it all up, and then you see them hobbling along the road. No, I've got to keep going with my running. We sort of laugh, but people do that. So no, rest and recovery is absolutely vital. And once you get that into your thinking, and when you make your kind of weekly plan, or you're out just listening to your body, which is a really good thing to do, it's low tech and a great way of sort of seeing how you are, then you find that the joy of running can actually increase a huge amount. And again, I've had to think about that a lot recently for various reasons, and recovery and rest and quality of training. But it's very much reflected in what the guys who are performing for their careers are saying. You know, Damien Hall was talking about it to me recently, and Ian Morgan, the guys I've been chatting to. So if you want a good long running career at whatever level you're doing it, whether it's 5K once a week or whatever, then that's part of it, part of the deal.
Just finally, Richmond, as far as if people want to find out a bit more about you and you've got a podcast, obviously you've got a practice, where can they go?
So people can find me on Twitter at Pain Physio and on Instagram at Pain Coach. My website is specialistpainphysio.com, but it is about to become richmondstace.com, but you'll find that when it comes up. Changing branding just means more pictures of me with beer. and I'm on people can find me on LinkedIn, and I'm always happy to chat. And I've also got the Understand Pain website, which is mainly focusing on the up and run, so doing a monthly ultra to raise awareness of the global problem of pain and to share messages of hope as we learn more and more about what pain is and how we can help people.
Well, Richard, thanks so much for coming on the podcast. It's absolutely great to talk to you about injury and pain, and you've got some really interesting stuff to say about that, so thanks very much for your time.
No, thank you. Good to see you all.
This is the Runner's World podcast.
So that brings us to the end of this week's Runner's World podcast. Thanks very much to our guest, Richmond Stace, and to you, of course, for listening.
You can subscribe to Runner's World magazine and get 12 issues throughout the year, but if you want to just sample it, you can get 3 issues for just £5. Head over to hearstmagazines.co.uk/runnersworldpodcast to get this exclusive listener offer.
The Runner's World podcast is available on Acast, iTunes and all your favourite podcast apps. Just search Runner's World UK and click subscribe. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you again next week.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.